I believe that God is doing things in us. I believe that God is doing things for us. I believe that God continues as the days, as we go on in this journey with God, I believe that God is positioning us for the things of God. I believe that God is positioning us to walk in our destiny. Come on, I believe that God is positioning us and helping us to take steps toward fulfilling His plans and His purposes in our lives. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers." Come on, we are God's fellow workers, not just the preachers. Come on, not just whoever you might think might be the special people. We are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field. What happens in a field? What happens in a field? Come on, what happens in a field? Things get planted in a field. Come on, God has planted some things in you. God has planted things of Himself, things of His nature, things of His character, things of His ability. He's planted them in us. When you plant something, then what happens? It brings something forth, right? We are God's field. Come on, He's put some good stuff in us. Come on, He's put some stuff in us that the world doesn't have. He's put some supernatural stuff in us. And He's expecting that stuff to come up and produce something. He's not expecting it to go into the soil of our hearts, come on, into the ground of our lives and just remain dormant. He's expecting that to produce something. Amen. We're all called to be producers in the kingdom of God. Every believer is called to produce the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? And then it goes on to say that you are God's building. Look at that. We're God's building. God's building us. He's building us into spiritual houses. Praise God. Big houses. Good houses. Not little shacks. Not little rundown. Come on, doesn't work properly. God's building us into supernatural, spiritual, powerful, big, glorious. You know, the kind of house somebody looks at and says, wow. Come on, that's what God wants to do about your life. He wants other people to look at you and say, wow. Wow. If they're a Christian, wow. What do you know that I don't know? Wow. Where do you go to church? Wow. What are you experiencing? Tell me how. Amen. You know, we've been recently, we've adopted Wednesdays as our wow Wednesday. If we're going to have some wow Wednesdays, we're going to have to be some wow people of God. Yeah. Pastor Chaz likes the wow Wednesdays. I like the wild Wednesdays. Praise the Lord. But God wants some people to say wow about you. He wants the people that aren't in the kingdom to say wow. Wow. I mean, they might think at first it's a little weird. But you know, when the storms of life come, when the trials of life come, when the troubles comes and the tribulations come, and you're able to lift up your head and say, hey, I know that God is with me. God is for me. God is going to see me through. I'm not going to be downcast. Come on, I'm not going to be discouraged. Come on, I'm not going to be fearful. Come on, I'm not going to be worried. Come on, I've got faith in God. I've got faith in God, and my faith will see me through to the victory. When you begin to walk like that, when you begin to walk in the peace of God, when everything around you is dark and gloomy and kind of shaky and kind of scary, when you begin to walk in the joy of the Lord, when it seems like you ought to be having some tears on your pillow, come on, somebody's going to say, wow! What do you have that I don't have? And you know what we have? We have God. We have God the Father. We have Jesus the Son. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us, helping us through life. Glory to God. Now turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. I just want you to see this. We're getting a running start. Is that okay? I said we're getting a running start. Amen. Not a sitting start. Amen. A running start. Right. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 19 and read through verse 22. Look at this. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. You know what happens when you become a citizen? You get rights. You get rights as a citizen. Yeah. You get responsibility comes with citizenship as well. but you get some rights. You get some benefits of citizenship. Praise the Lord. It says we're not foreigners and we're not strangers. Come on. We are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Yes. Come on. Our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. Come on. Our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. But the kingdom of God, we have citizenship there. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Look at this. In whom the whole building. Now we just saw that you're a building. Amen. We are God's building. Individually, we're a building. Look at this. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. How many of you want to be a holy temple in the Lord? A holy temple in the Lord. Well, the Bible says that we're being fitted together. I just want to remind you this morning how important your church life is. How important it is to be part of a local assembly so that God can be fitting us together so that we can grow. This tells me that if we're not fitted together, if we're not in the right place with God, with the right people, allowing God to fit us together. You know, when you fit something together, come on, there's a little pressing and a little squeezing and a little making it work together. But the Bible says if we allow that, if we get in the house of God as a building and let God fit us together, we grow into something. I'm still growing. I'm still growing into a holy temple. I'm being fit with you, man. You might not like me, but I'm being fit with you. We're going to have to be close together. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to stay together. When something's fit together, when it's knit together, when it's joined together, it's together tightly. Amen. And it's a perfect fit with the Lord. Amen. But it says that that we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. Look at this, verse 22. In whom you are also being built together a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And this is my desire for Houston Faith Church and all the people of Houston Faith Church, is that together we are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We don't get that just on our own. God's talking about the corporate assembly. This is special. The assembly, it's special to God. It's holy unto the Lord. He's set us apart to assemble together, to be fit together, to be joined together, to be knit together, so that we can grow into a holy place and a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Not in the carnal way, but in the Spirit. We're purposing to be a spiritual church. Amen. A spiritual people. We're not going to be content hanging along just looking out at the river and at the waters that are. We're not going to be content just giving a little dip of our toe or a little splash of our feet. We're not even going to be content just being in the knee deep or even the waist deep waters. We're called not in the shallow, but to go into the deep things of God. We got to go together. We got to go together. Amen. So don't ever in your Christian walk, don't ever let the devil tell you that you don't need to assemble together wherever God has called you. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how long you've done it, no matter how much you know, no matter how spiritual you think you are, this is a perpetual that we're growing into a holy temple in the Lord, being a dwelling place. A dwelling place, not where the Spirit has to come sometimes and then go, but where the Spirit can be here, have His way, abide, reside at all times amongst us as God, His people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. These are great days that we're in. We're not waiting on anything from God. Do you know that, right? We're not waiting on anything from God. We have to seize every moment. We have to make every moment count. We have to buy it back, redeem the time. Amen. Make sure we're making every day, every church service, everything that we do count for the kingdom. Amen. Because really, because earth life is all we know, it seems like, you know, we've got some years out there. But really, in relation to eternity, our years on the earth is short. It's short. So we got to make the most of it. Hallelujah. We're not waiting on something. We're not waiting on revival. We're living in revival, right? We are the revival. We're living on fire. We're living hot. We're living full. We're living in the glory. Everywhere we go, everything we do. You know, the Bible says, arise and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Our light has come. The Lord says, our light has come. We're not waiting on a light. Our light has come. Amen. So the Lord would say, live in the light. Amen. And walk in the light. Amen. Be children of the light. For in him there is no darkness, which means upon us and in us should be no darkness. Time to shake off the grave clothes. Come on. Time to shake off the disappointments, the discouragements, the things of the world, and arise and shine really bright, really, really, really bright. For all everybody to see. Hallelujah. It's time to rise and shine, church. Glory to God. Walk in the light. For the glory of the Lord is risen. It has risen. That's a past tense. It has risen upon us. The glory of the Lord is upon us. Hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, God is a good God. He's a good Father. He likes to help His children. He sent Jesus into the earth to help us, right? Jesus came with a purpose. He came to redeem us. He came to save us. He came to heal us. He came to take us out of poverty. He came to give us the kingdom. Really, He came to help us. God came to help us through Jesus. He sent Jesus that Jesus would be our helper. Jesus brought with Him some good stuff. He brought redemption. Come on. He brought eternal life. Come on. He brought the good life. Amen. He brought the kingdom of God. And He made a way for us to access it. But when He was in the earth, what I want you to know is that even though Jesus was sent to help us, He didn't really help until the Holy Spirit came on Him. Until the age of 30, He was a good Hebrew boy. I mean, He lived by the law. He was sinless. Praise. Wouldn't every parent like a child like that? That's a good something to strive for. Praise the Lord. But really, He didn't begin to help people until at the age of 30, He went down to the River Jordan. You remember that? And He was baptized. The Bible says He was baptized in water to fulfill the command. And He came up, and when He came up, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit Himself descended upon Him like a dove, came upon Him. And the Bible says that it was at that time that His ministry began. Ministry is to serve people. Ministry is a service to God to help people. So really, even though Jesus was sent to help mankind, He didn't even go to the cross until the Holy Spirit was upon Him. Amen. Did you know that Jesus Himself needed the help of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the plan of God, to fulfill the purpose of God, to do all the good stuff, to help people, to heal people, to deliver people, to give people wisdom, to tell all the parables? He needed the Holy Spirit to instruct people, to teach people, to train people, to preach. He needed the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's pretty awesome. God, because He loves us, because He is a good Father, because He's a perfect example of a God that wants to bless His kids, He sent a helper. Amen. And He's called the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. Ooh. Oh, life in the Holy Spirit. That made what Jesus did all worthwhile. That was the goal of Jesus, was so that He could come redeem us and then have the Spirit of God sent out of heaven to live in the hearts of men. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He actually said in John 16, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come." The Holy Spirit is the Helper. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, He's the Helper. The Holy Spirit is kind of like, you know, if you were in America, we have the government, we have different, the legislative branch, and the we have all these different branches of government. Well, you know, in the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all have different roles. They're separate yet one. They're separate in person yet one in essence. Hallelujah. They have different roles. They do different things. And it seems that the Holy Spirit is the executive arm of the Trinity. He's the one that executes things in the earth. He's the one that executes. Well, in the beginning, in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was hovering. He was hovering, waiting over the face of the deep until the Lord spoke. And when He spoke, it doesn't say it, but when He spoke, something happened. I believe it purposed to tell us that the Holy Spirit was hovering there, because when God spoke, the Holy Spirit executed Amen. That light in the earth. Amen. He's the executor. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, He is the executor. He's the enforcing agent in the earth. God is on the throne. Praise God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Praise God for that. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He is our helper. He's come to help us. We need to understand this. We need to have faith in Him as a helper. You know, usually when we think of the Holy Spirit as a helper, we think of all the glory stuff, right? We think of the signs, the wonders, the miracles. I mean, the glory cloud. We think of all the spectacular outward things that we see. And absolutely, the Holy Spirit is the miracle worker. Amen. Amen. Absolutely, He is the miracle worker. Romans 8:11 says that when Christ died, it was the Holy Spirit that raised Him up. It was the Spirit that raised Him up. It was the Spirit that executed that power in the earth that raised Jesus up. So we can say the Holy Ghost is the miracle worker. Absolutely. He's the miracle worker, healing a body, delivering us from oppression, from darkness. Come on. He's a miracle worker in bringing all the signs and the wonders and the glory of God. But He's also the revealer. Yes. Amen. We can't forget that. Yes. We can't get so focused on just the Holy Spirit as the glory of God and all the wonderful signs and forget that He's the revealer. He reveals things of God to us. He gives us wisdom. He teaches us things, shows us things to come. He reminds us of what God has said. He's the helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We need to know that. We need to understand that fully. We need to understand it more. Kind of like Paul said, you know, that His determined purpose was that He would more progressively become more intimately and deeply acquainted with the wonders and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's my pursuit. Because He's everything. He was sent as my helper. He was sent as your helper. We're going to have faith in that. Just like Patrick remembered let me ask God. It was the Holy Spirit that whatever happened in there, whatever heart was moved upon, whatever happened in that favor of God getting to Patrick's account, it was the Holy Spirit that worked that. Amen. We're going to have to know the Holy Spirit, have faith in Him as the helper. God has a plan. God is the planner. God is the planner of your life. Jesus is the one who purchases everything that's needed for your life. God made the plan. Jesus purchased it. He bought it. He got everything that we need. But then the Holy Spirit is the deliverer of what Jesus has purchased. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides us into what's ours. Let's look at that. I'm going to look at that verse. That's in Romans chapter 8. Let's just look at that real quick, just so that you can see it. I want to make sure that you understand that, because this is kind of like an important thing here that you know. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself Who? The Spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. It's the Spirit that bears witness and helps us to know that we're heirs of God, that things belong to us. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit, it's the role of the Holy Spirit to take us into the things that belong to us. God plans it, Jesus purchases it, but the Holy Spirit delivers it, guides us into it, and it's us that must possess it. We must actually take possession when the Holy Spirit is endeavoring. So it's kind of like the plan of your life. I've given this example before, but I'll give it again. It's a good one. If you were to go to a theater and watch a movie or watch a play, have you ever seen a play? You ever been down to the Wortham Center and seen a play? Okay, well, somebody authored the story. There was a writer of the story, the one that came up with the whole story, beginning to end. That's God in your life. God has authored a story for you. He's authored your life. I mean, the Bible says, while you were yet in your mother's womb, whoa, that He fashioned your days. I mean, the minute one something came out, the minute that little leg poked out, that little hand poked out, oh, your destiny was already there. Your destiny was already written in the earth.
Amen.
And then Jesus came along and said, oh, yeah. Okay, here's Herb. Here's who He is. Here's His assignment. I've got everything. I've purchased it with my own blood, with the blood of Jesus, with His own life. He purchased everything that was necessary for Herb to be who God says he is and to do what God wants done.
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, it is done. When Jesus said it's finished, He meant it is finished. I have done it all. I have purchased it all. But Herb, even though he knows it's there, he has to know how to get it. He has to know how to get it. And so God sent a helper. He sent a helper in our lives. Come on. So God is the author of the story. Jesus is the producer. The producer is the one that goes out. He makes the set happen. He buys all the stuff. He does all the getting everything in place. But then you have what show up? A director shows up on the scene. And it's the director that goes, okay, now my job as the director is to make sure that the story that God has written for your life comes to pass. And so my job as the Holy Spirit, as the helper, is to get you into the fullness of that story. Because God already said it. He already wrote it. Jesus already purchased it. It's already there. But my job as the Holy Spirit is to get you in it.
Amen.
So He guides us and leads us. He's the helper. He says, hey, go here, do this. Hey, don't do that. Hey, this is the time for this. Hey, this is the season. Hey, I want you to study this. Hey, I want you to know this. He's the one that does that. That's why we have to know Him. That's why we have to follow Him. Praise the Lord. He's the helper. Now listen, we have to keep this straight, okay? He is the helper, but it's not like, hey, you're my helper. You do what I say. That's not the kind of helper He is. Let's not get this messed up. Okay? He is still God. He is still God. I mean, He is God in essence. He is God. He is holy. He is powerful. The Holy Spirit is to be honored.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is to be respected.
Amen.
We are to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is still God. Really, more truthfully, the more reverence you are of God, the more of the fear of God that you walk in, the better job you'll do at being able to walk with the helpership of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But it is a partnership. And even though we don't command Him and tell Him what to do, He is sent of God to help us. How wonderful is that?
Amen.
You know, when I got a hold of the revelation that even as a Christian, I was not all by myself responsible for life, for making this work, for knowing what to do. When I found out I was just not left to myself, that was one of the most exciting things. That the Holy Spirit, with all of God's wisdom, with all of God's power, with all of God's love, with all of everything that God is, was sent to help me.
Amen.
not to punish me, not to make things difficult, to help me.
Amen.
He's our helper.
Amen.
And we must know that, and we so that we can, come on, be of the 10% that's living in the fullness of God. If we don't know the helpership of the Holy Spirit, if we don't know the partnership with the Holy Spirit, if we're not ever mindful of that, every day that we wake up today, the Spirit of God is with me to help me. I'm not on my own. I don't have to do this on my own. I don't have to make decisions on my own. I don't have to work on my own. I don't have to parent on my own. I have the help of the Holy Spirit. And it's His job. It's His role to guide me and lead me into my inheritance. Come on. I have an inheritance. Come on. You have an inheritance. Jesus has bought some stuff. And it's good stuff. So we're going to have to know the Holy Spirit so that we can get into what God has for us.
Amen.
He's our helper.
Yes.
I love that. And it's such a balance, but He's a partner. He partners with us in life. And we've got to be mindful of that. We've got to remember that so that we can have faith in that. Because we already know, right? We are faith people, right? We are faith church, right? We know that things of heaven don't just fall down on us. I mean, there's not like some designated point of time and some are allotted this and some are allotted that. And at some point, it happens by faith. Everything happens by faith.
Amen.
And what is the essence of faith is that you know something,
right?
The essence of faith is that you know something, you believe something. And because you know something and believe something, you say something. Holy Spirit, help me. And because we believe something, then we act upon something. That's the essence of faith. So we got to know the Holy Spirit. We got to know who He is. Turn with me to John 14. I'm just giving you a little reminder this morning. I'm still in the warm-up. We're on page 2 of 16. No, I'm not going to do all 16 pages. But I just, you know, really what it was Friday, I just got this urge all of a sudden that we needed to be reminded about the helpership of the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is we gloriously meet the Holy Spirit. I mean, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, for most of us, it's a glorious experience. Why? Because He is the Spirit of glory. And I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's like, wow. I mean, they're now the fullness of God. It's a measure of God. That even though we had the seal of Him in our heart, it's like now everything is magnified. Now everything is just to the more oomph degree.
Amen.
And so it's glorious.
Amen.
And we start learning. We start, oh, I got the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Him to do this. And I'm going to ask it. And we really, at that time, we really think He's going to do it. We really think He's going to work with us. And then life goes on. And we start forgetting maybe to pray in tongues quite so much every day. Or we start, you know, we get busy or this happens. And just like anything, even spiritual things will grow dim if you don't keep them alive. That's why you must pray in tongues. You must pray in tongues, period. So if anybody here today is not yet praying in tongues, today is the day.
Amen.
Today is the day. The doors are locked. Where everybody's going to, we'll be like, you do it. You do it. You got to, first of all, you got to speak in tongues. For the very first time, you got to do it. And I'm not talking about where you think maybe it happened. I'm talking about you know. I mean, something supernatural came out of your heart and out of your mouth.
Amen.
And then you got to speak in tongues every day to stay fresh, to stay alive. The Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of life. If we got to keep Him active, we got to keep it stirred up.
Amen.
Right? So Friday, I woke up just with this feeling that we need to be reminded that He is our helper. We have a helper in the earth. We ought to be having Him help us every day. Have you recognized yet that you need help in this life? Has anybody other than me recognized that in this life? And we need active help. We don't need theological, just a help as a theory. We need, like, really, like, we need to see it. We need to know it. I mean, we need to, I mean, it, like, really happen. With the Holy Spirit, our helper. Are you in John 14? Praise the Lord. I love that. He is inside us. I always tell the story, it's like Superman, you know, Clark Kent. On the outside, he just looked like nothing. I mean, he wasn't, I don't know how they did that good, because, you know, usually once everything broke out, he had a really nice, you know, it was nice to look at. Everything was, but, you know, somehow they hid all that. That's really how it is. You know, God in us, this earthen vessel. Come on, we're just an earthen vessel. Come on. But just in and of ourselves, we don't look like much. Come on, we might not look like the most intelligent, but we might not look like the most, you know, whatever, but we got something inside us. Come on, we got someone inside us. And we got to learn how every day when we get up, it's a peel back. Come on, peel back that outer shell. Come on, peel back your own thinking. Come on, peel back your own limitations and your own feelings. You got to peel that back. Oh, yeah, supernatural saint. Super, I got the Holy Spirit. He's helping me today. Seriously, y'all laugh, but if you don't do this some in your life, I'm all about prophetic acts. I mean, sometimes, you know, just throw your Bible down and stand on it. I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on you. Sometimes you need to get around your house and peel your thing back and just start running. Just start running. Sometimes you need to see yourself flying over all the buildings or outrunning that thing that's chasing you. If I could just take y'all home with me for a week, we might get thrown out of the neighborhood. But we have a helper, and we've got to know who's in us. The helper is in us. The helper of God is in us. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus said this. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Jesus said, I'll pray, and he will give you another. He's going to give you another. That word is the Greek word allos, and it means one besides another of the same kind. It means one that is equal to, beside Jesus, and in addition to Jesus, but is just like Jesus. Amen. So when he said, I'll send a helper, that means that he sent the Holy Spirit just as if Jesus was standing next to us, who we know has all authority and all power and all wisdom. And we would look at him and say, Jesus, help me. Now, you know what Jesus would do, right? He would help you. When Jesus was in the earth and people came to him, once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he helped them. He helped devils get out of them. He helped bodies get healed. He helped all kind of things go on. The Bible says that Jesus said God would send another one and that he'd do just what Jesus did, just as if Jesus was there. So the Holy Spirit, he's with us. God sent another helper. Now that word helper means comforter. Okay? Now the word comfort, when we think of comfort, we think of, I'm going to comfort you. Well, God does comfort us. Okay? He does encourage us. He does console us. He's a father. The Bible actually says when a believer hurts, we hurt with them. When they mourn, we mourn with them. Okay? God does comfort us. I remember years ago, I'm really not going to have any time, but my goal was to kind of tell you some stories of my early days. Not like when I was a preacher, but when I was a believer. Because this kind of stuff ought to be happening. The helpership ought to be happening in every believer's life. You don't have to be something special or have a title or have a office or have a position. It's every believer. The Holy Spirit is the helper of every believer. And so I went through a real difficult time in my life. And I remember one day I got really, really, really bad news. And I mean, it was bad news. And it was very a sad moment. It was a very hurtful moment. And my first thought was, who can I call? You know, because we have friends in the body of Christ, the people. But you know what? God's instantly, the Lord said to me, don't call anyone. I'm your comforter and I will comfort you. Amen. We have to remember that there's help in the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Amen. Listen, God never said that this earth life was going to be a bed of roses and everything was going to be pretty. What he said that we can get through it. And we can get through it peaceful, and we can get through it joyful, and we can get through it still having our faith. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to know the Holy Spirit is your comforter. Amen. The one who comes alongside you, takes hold of your heart, takes hold of your emotions, and says, oh, come on, I'm with you here. I'm right here. I'm right with you. I'm right alongside you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to tell you it's going to be okay. With God, it's going to be okay. It's always with God going to be okay. I said with God, it's always going to be okay. Come on, we got to let the Holy Spirit. This is where we can't slip over into our emotions, into our soul. Peel it back. Peel it back. I'm not letting my emotions get the best of me here. Come on, I'm supernatural. Come on, I got the help of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lift me up. He's going to comfort me. He's going to encourage me. He's my comforter. And that word comfort doesn't only mean he's going to console us and help us and encourage us. It means a come alongside. I mean, every day when I get up, I'm not alone. It's not just me. I've got the comfort. I've got the come along. Come on. Come along, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come along. He's our helper.
Amen. That's right.
You know, that really right there ought to solve every depression.
Amen.
It ought to help every sadness of life. Listen, I know they're real. I'm not minimizing that they're not real. Listen, we all have them. Nobody is excluded from the ugliness and the depravity and the darkness and the sadness and the curse and the glitch and the everything that is in this earth. But we're going to have to decide, no, I got help from God. From whence cometh my help? It comes from the Lord. It comes from above. It doesn't come from a self-help book. It doesn't come from turning on a Hallmark movie. Come on, it doesn't help from turning on a little music that makes my soul feel like that. No, my help comes from the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
Our help comes from the Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's our comforter. And I've just about decided, listen, and people will get mad at you. I mean, I have people that just get flat out mad that I just don't get sad, that I don't get down, you know. I mean, they're just mad. They think I'm, I don't know, they think I'm unfeeling. They think, it's not like that at all. You know, but I learned a long time ago, me shedding some tears helps a whole lot of nothing. Me shedding tears helps a whole lot of nothing. What helps is when I can pick myself up by the coattail because the Holy Spirit done got a hold of me. And said, hey, don't you go there. You know, when Pastor Chaz's dad, father, went on to heaven, he went very quickly. It was kind of an unexpected thing. And I watched my husband. His dad was his best friend. Grew up with him as a best friend. But you know, he shed a couple of tears at the funeral. But the whole next week, he was fine. Actually, we were on a mission trip. He preached, he loved, he served. We got home. And finally one day I just asked him. I mean, I knew, but I wanted to hear him say it. How do you do it? You know, not one time have you broken down. Have you gotten sad? Sure, he missed his dad. Sure, even for a moment he was mad about what had happened, but he was mad at the devil. But then he just said this. He said, you know, when the thought comes how much I miss my dad. He said, I don't let it in. He said, I recognize it and I instantly take my mind to Christ. No matter how many tears he shed, his dad was still in heaven. Nothing was going to change that. So life's been a whole lot better because he's learned to live in the helpership, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.